Nicole hosts Easter every year. That's why she shops at BJ's Wholesale Club, stocking up on spiral ham, baked goods, fresh flowers, candy, and 5 dozen eggs.
I've got a lot of baskets to fill.
Nicole's not worried because she knows she can save big and get it all done in one trip.
It's like winning the Easter egg hunt.
When you save, everyone wins. Get a $15 digital coupon when you spend $150 in one transaction, now through April 5th. Visit BJ's.com/Easter coupon for details. BJ's, your Easter destination.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
If you really love me, you wouldn't give up on me.
Have you ever heard that? Has anyone ever tried to manipulate you with that steaming pile of BS? That sentence has kept more people in burning buildings than any lock ever made. It's the thing the addict says, the abuser says, the person whose chaos has consumed your entire life says, right before they ask for one more chance, one more loan, one more night on the couch. Please give me one more night. Give me just one more night.
Okay, I'm going into Phil Collins and I won't do that.
One more night, one more opportunity to prove that this time is different. Before I kill you and ruin your life, I'm gonna ruin your life. Ruin your life, cause it's what narcissists do.
Original lyrics to One More Night by Phil Collins. Or was that Genesis? I think it was Phil Collins, straight up. I don't remember. Good song, anyway. You stay. Because what kind of person gives up on someone they love? There's a whole genre of music guilting you to do it, right? We're talking about the Reiner situation here, but we're talking also about life in general here. And the example that this case puts out into the ether, because so many people have seen this thing and they've related to it in so many different ways. And it's been a reckoning, I would say, for many. Not just another, oh, if only he had been loved more, if only they cared more. No, it's been a reckoning of they did every damn thing they could and you're a piece of shit and you need to go away for the rest of your life. Because too many of us have done the yes, of course I love you. Of course I'm going to stand by your side. Of course I'm going to do that. Until it almost destroys us. And it has destroyed many. And they're not here to have that revelation or that reckoning. Because quite often the abuser is still alive and the person that was trying to take care of them isn't. We're going to get into all this, and this is the second part in our series we're doing all week about Nick Reiner and about this type of thinking and about being on the receiving end of the abuse from the monster, the Nick Reiner in anyone's life. And it doesn't have to be a child, doesn't have to be a lover. It could be a lover, it could be a child, it could be a friend, it could be a spouse, it could be a brother, it could be anybody. This type of person, this type of monster that leeches onto the other human being and sucks the life out of them until they're dead without regard, they will go for whatever prey happens to be in front of them. A lot of times they don't even know that that's what they're doing, but that's what they're doing. And when the end result is the same either way, does it really matter if they know what they're doing? Does it really matter if you, the one who's trying to help them and take care of them and save them? Does it really matter if that person ever has that realization of they're the monster? No, because they never will. You'll just have the realization of, oh, I'm about to die, either at their own hands or of exhaustion or something else horrible that takes you out because of the energy you're expelling on that piece of shit. If you're still with us, still alive to hear this, well, good. I don't want to say consider yourself lucky, but maybe that's luck might be part of it. And if you're confused as shit, well, we've all been there. It's okay. But listen up. Because you don't need to fall victim to the Nick Reiner of your world. As we go through this, give me your thoughts in the comments section. That could be on Substack, the link's in the description, or on YouTube. Comment section's right there. Here's the answer nobody wants to say out loud. Sometimes the only kind of person who survives Sometimes the only kind of person who survives is a person who makes the realization of understanding what that is all about. We're taught that love means staying. That real devotion means never walking away. Unconditional love gets thrown around like it's the highest virtue from people who don't understand a goddamn thing about the situation you might be living in right now. It's very easy to throw that term around. It's this, it's that. Yeah, well, wait till you have to exercise it against the devil. It's not the devil, it's someone you love. Yeah, it was. Until they started loving themselves far greater than anyone else around. And we all just kept going, well, we have to love them, even if they only seem to care about themselves at all. Do we? Do we? Unconditional love gets thrown around like it's the highest virtue, but somewhere along the way, unconditional love got twisted into unconditional proximity. They're not the same thing. You can love someone from a distance. You can love someone you never see again. You can love someone and still refuse to let them destroy you. That's not the message we get. The message we get is that walking away makes you the bad guy. That setting limits is abandonment. That if you really cared, you'd stay in the fire until either they got better or you both burned alive. And you know what? You're pretty much guaranteed that the latter will happen or you will burn alive. It's usually not a both situation. It's usually you and they make it out because they're holding the fire extinguisher in their hands and a flamethrower on their back. So they'll flamethrow the shit out of you. And then when you're finally charred, oh, let me use a fire extinguisher on you. Oh my gosh, they're gone. What happened? I wonder why this is. Just because they're holding both doesn't make them a hero. Robin Michelle Reiner stayed in the fire for over 17 years. 18 rehab stints, facilities charging tens of thousands of dollars a month, a guest house on their property so Nick could live close, a movie made together, Being Charlie in 2015, where father and son processed their pain through art and did a press tour about healing and recovery. They showed up to every family session. They funded every new approach. They reversed their position on boundaries after Nick convinced them the professionals had been wrong all along. They never stopped trying. They never walked away. And now they're dead. I'm not saying their deaths are a consequence for their devotion, but they are. They are. And I'm not saying their devotion was wrong. And as obscene as that is, it's reality. What happened to them is the responsibility of one person and one person alone. And I can't imagine being a parent and being in that situation. I'd be dead too. I would have kept trying till the end. At least I think I would. I don't know. It's impossible to say unless you're in that situation. But I am saying this. Their presence did not save Nick. I'm not blaming them for their deaths. but continually choosing to be there. And I'm not saying it was wrong, but if death was not the intended outcome, let this be a lesson to not make the same choices they did. Their love didn't fix him. Their willingness to help and to keep showing up, keep funding, keep hoping, none of it changed the trajectory. It just kept them in the path of it. But that's where they chose to be as well, because they thought, if I'm in the path of this out of control speeding train, maybe, and this is the crazy part with this, because I think, you know, especially when it's a kid, we think of these situations a little differently. And he's an adult, but he's still their kid. And I think they still saw their little boy. They saw their little boy. They saw, to a certain degree, being out there in that trajectory of that speeding bullet train that was out of control, which is what exactly it was at the time they were murdered. Their prism, the cognitive distortion that they had to live with in order to function, in order to continue being there for Nick, I think they probably still in their minds and in their hearts, they saw the little boy that was jumping into them that they were going to catch at the pool. Because it's still that person. It's still the same little person that used to, okay, jump, I got you. And you could catch them for a long time. You could save them. You could help them. But for like so many of us, if you have kids, you understand this. If you don't, you don't. You know, they grow. And some turn into wonderful adults that you can go swimming with. Probably don't want him to jump on you at some point because that might hurt you. But Nick wasn't even an adult jumping into the pool and mom and dad are waiting there to catch them. Although that probably would drown somebody too. He was the Titanic being launched into a swimming pool. And Rob and Michelle were standing there thinking, acting like, oh, we're going to keep catching our little boy. As the Titanic fell on top of them and crushed them and sunk them to the bottom of the ocean under the weight and destruction of Nick. And right up to that last minute, their minds are still thinking, I'm going to catch my little boy. I mean, that's a parental love. That's one that no matter how much reasoning you put into something, doesn't necessarily change or go away. So as easy as it is for me to sit here and say, don't do this, don't do that. I don't, you know, do what you need to do. But just take into consideration this story as a cautionary tale. I've heard from so many parents who are going through this and, we're not here to judge you. Just hear what I'm saying. And don't be run over by the Titanic. Because their love didn't fix him. Their willingness to keep showing up, keep funding, keep hoping. None of that changed the trajectory. It just kept them in the path of it. And if you're someone who's been told that your presence is the only thing standing between the person you love and total destruction, I need you to hear something. That belief is a trap, and it might be killing you. Here's how that trap works. It starts with guilt weaponization.
If you leave, I'll use again. If you cut me off, I'll end up on the streets. If you stop helping, you're the reason I fail. It starts getting uglier. That threat is explicit or implied. Your departure will be the cause of their destruction, not their choices, not their patterns, not the 17 years of evidence that nothing changes. You leaving, that's what will finally push them over the edge, because they can't be accountable for anything. So you stay. Because you can't live with being the reason. Even though, and this is the part your guilt won't let you see clearly, you were never the reason. You were never the thing keeping them afloat. You were just a soft landing that prevented the fall that might have actually saved them. Nick Reiner reportedly told his parents that if he didn't want to go to their suggested treatment programs, then I had to be homeless. That was the line, that boundary, the consequence. But it never held. Every time he got drawn, it got erased. A line got drawn, it got erased. Every ultimatum dissolved into another chance. The consequence of homelessness was always theoretical because Rob and Michelle couldn't stomach making it real. And I understand that. I am not here to judge parents who couldn't bear watching their son suffer, but I'm here to say that the consequence never materializing is part of what kept Nick exactly where he was. Some people will never hit bottom because someone is always there to catch them. Your hands outstretched, becoming the floor that prevents the fall. And sometimes the fall is the only thing that works. The second part of the trap is sunk cost. You've already given so much. Years, money, sleep, relationships that couldn't survive your focus on the one person. Holidays ruined, savings strains. Your own mental health shredded by the constant vigilance, the constant disappointments, the constant cycle of hope and collapse. Walking away means all of that was for nothing. Every sacrifice wasted, every dollar burned. You've gone this far, why not keep going, right? Every sleepless night, pointless staying means maybe, just maybe, the next intervention will be the one that works and all this will be worth it. The next rehab, the next medication, the next conversation, you're staying because you believe it will work. You're staying because you can't accept that none of it worked. The Reiners had decades invested. The public redemption narrative, a film that told the world their son was healing, walking away, would have meant admitting that being Charlie wasn't a turning point, it was a performance. That the press tour about recovery was built on a lie, Nick admitted years later, when he told a podcast he wasn't actually sober during any of it. The sunk cost wasn't just money, it was identity. It was a story they told themselves and the world about their love and how it could accomplish anything. The third part of this trap is the fantasy of the final save. What if I leave? And that's when they're finally ready to change. The terror that your absence will be the thing that tips them into the abyss, and you'll spend the rest of your life knowing you weren't there for the moment. It could have been different. This is the hook that keeps people standing in the fire longer than any human should remain. Not for the person they love. Fear. Fear of being the reason hope died. Fear of the phone call that comes after you finally step back. Fear of living with the knowledge that you walked away. And then the worst happened. But here's what that fear won't let you see. The worst might happen anyway. The worst might happen because you stayed. The worst might be inevitable regardless of where you're standing, when it arrives. Your presence is not a force field. Your love is not a cure. And your fear of what happens if you leave is keeping you in a situation that's destroying you without saving them. Rob Reiner brought Nick to that Christmas party because he was reportedly afraid to leave him home alone. A 77-year-old man couldn't attend a holiday gathering without bringing his 32-year-old son because the alternative felt too dangerous. It's not parenting. It's not supervision. That's a hostage situation where the hostage has convinced himself he's the warden. And this is the hardest part to say, but it needs to be said. And what would have happened? What would have happened if Rob and Michelle had walked away 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, if they said, we love you, but you can't do this anymore. You're not welcome in our home until you've been sober for a year, verified with no expectation, with no exceptions. Would Nick have spiraled? Probably. Would he have ended up homeless again? Maybe. Would he have hit a bottom that finally cracked through the manipulation, the entitlement, and the decades of soft landings? Nobody knows. Would Rob and Michelle still be alive? Nobody knows that either. But we know what happened when they didn't walk away. We know how the story ended. And I'm not telling you to assign blame. I'm telling you so that you understand staying does not guarantee a good outcome. If that's where you are, staying just guarantees you're there for whatever comes next. So here's what I need you to hear. You are allowed to stop. Not because you don't love them. Because you do. Not because they're hopeless, because you're not the thing that will save them. Not because you're giving up, because you're finally giving yourself permission to survive. Walking away doesn't mean you stop loving someone. It means you stop letting their chaos write your story. It means you recognize that your presence isn't fixing anything and might be preventing the only thing that could. It means you accept that you've done everything you can and everything you can isn't enough. That's not a failure on your part. That's just the truth of loving someone whose destruction is beyond your control. Giving up is a phrase designed to keep you in the fire. The person who uses it against you is not asking for your help. They're asking for your destruction on the installment plan. They're asking you to sacrifice your peace, your health, your relationships, your future, one day at a time, one crisis at a time, one last chance at a time until there's nothing left of you to give. And when you're finally empty, they'll find someone else to drain because it was never about your help. It was about your presence as a resource to be consumed. The Reiners never walked away. They stayed through 18 rehabs, through homelessness in four states, through a destroyed guest house, through a son who admitted on a podcast to gaming every system designed to help him, to stealing pills for sick people, to faking his way through recovery while getting high on rooftops. They stayed until there was nowhere left to stand. You don't have to. Walking away isn't betrayal. It's not abandonment. It's not proof that you didn't love them enough. It's the recognition that love by itself cannot fix what's broken in another person. It's the acceptance that your limits are not character flaws. They're survival mechanisms. It's the decision to stop setting yourself on fire to keep someone else warm when they won't even stand near the flame. It's someone in your life, if someone in your life, I should say, has made your boundaries the enemy, made your self-preservation into evidence of your failure to love them properly, made every act of self-protection feel like an act of violence against them, that's not love asking anymore. That's manipulation wearing love's mask. You're allowed to take it off them. You're allowed to see it for what it is. You're allowed to walk out of the burning building even if they refuse to follow. Rob and Michelle Reiner loved their son with everything they had. They gave him money, time, opportunity, forgiveness, second chances, third chances, 18th chances. They made a movie with him. They rewrote their own beliefs to accommodate his narratives. They kept him close, even when keeping him close meant living in fear. And none of it was enough because it was never going to be enough because the thing that needed to change was inside Nick. And no amount of external love can reach the place where that change has to happen. If you're waiting for permission to stop, to step back, to set limits, to protect yourself from someone whose chaos has consumed your life, consider this your permission. You've done enough. You've given enough. You've stayed long enough. I can't tell you what's going to happen next. I can't say it's going to end well. But the next chapter of your life doesn't have to be written by their destruction. You're allowed to pick up the pen yourself. Your thoughts. Tell me in the comments section. Tell me on YouTube or on our Substack. If you got a story to share, a lot of people watch these and it becomes kind of a cathartic thing. And everybody kind of helps each other.
There's a lot of us out there. And again, this doesn't have to be something where this is your child. It can be a relationship. It can be a spouse. It can be someone you were in. This could be years ago. This is years ago for me. I'm speaking from experience, from relationships past, from people I've been involved with. And understanding the toll this shit takes. And I hope that by through that, through this passion of sharing this insanity, others who are maybe very early on that path or somewhere on that path still can find a moment to see the light at the end of that tunnel and go, I'm going there. I'm not turning back into the flames because that person is like, you don't love me then. No. I do, and I love myself too. And I'm going to go out this way, and I hope to God you follow me because I love you. And if you don't, well, that is up to you. I just hope you love yourself enough to make the right choices as well, because I can't keep killing myself. That's what you need to tell yourself. Again, your thoughts in the comments section. YouTube, Substack, the links are in the descriptions. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening to this or watching this, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever it may be. Hit subscribe if you're finding this valuable. A review on Apple Podcasts, tremendously helpful. If you've got a few seconds, please drop us one there. Until next time, we'll continue this in the comments. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.